be quite honest with you, but we're compelled, you know, to preach, especially on Sunday morning. But if I did what my heart's inclinations tell me, we'd go have a dinner and come back and try it another round in the evening hour. And we'll see how things start, and if they don't develop, well, we'll do exactly that. Song of Solomon, chapter number 1. Song of Solomon, please. And chapter number 1. And possibly if it wasn't for the two songs that we sang in the congregation, that's probably what I'd do this morning. But they seem to have a little leadership to them in the service, in the thought for the hour. And I hope the Lord will develop some thoughts for us. Try to help the Song of Solomon and chapter number 1, beginning with verse 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointment, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I'm black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I'm black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. But mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flock of thy companions? Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his scripture text this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege, Lord, to be in the house of God. I thank you for your love and your mercy toward me. I thank you for the Song of Solomon and the great truth that we find there. I thank you, Lord, not only for inspiring this text, but preserving it unto all generations. Thank you, Lord, for faith that we can rely upon it and believe it and trust it, and your assurance and blessings to our heart because of it. I pray that you'll save some old sinner this morning and make Jesus enough in somebody's life today. Do give grace and liberty. We need your help this morning to preach. I pray that you'll give us the liberty, the power that we need, Lord. Would you break our hearts and melt our hearts today, Lord, that we might catch fresh visions of glory. And help us today to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Move my soul to preach and move hearts to hear. Open up ears, and may hearts today be sympathetic to the Word of God. And we'll thank you and praise you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Verse number 7 will be our text for the morning hour that we'll draw our devotion from, if the Lord will help us, where the bride of Solomon makes this statement: Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest the flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Verse number 7 closes out this portion of Scripture where the bride of is now speaking. She is the bride of Solomon by interpretation, but the truth behind it reveals the fact that it is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to take verse 7, if God will help me this morning, and preach for a little while on seeking satisfaction. seeking satisfaction. You know, just about everybody that I meet today is seeking for something that'll satisfy them. I really believe that the world around us this morning is looking for something that will satisfy their hungering heart and the thirsting of their never-dying soul. Many people now are driven with ambition to be successful in this life, maybe in the form of business or something else. They'll spend long hours and hard days in trying to be successful in business, really believing that they can find satisfaction in their achievements. But I want to say to you, my friend, on the authority of the Word of God, a man or a woman may scale to the utmost height in the business world, and when they reach the top of the ladder, they'll find it just as hollow in their heart at the top as it was in the bottom. May I say there is no success today or no satisfaction today in secular success or secular prosperity. I tell you, when we'll be happy and when we'll be satisfied is when we seek the Lord with all of our heart. Amen to God. He will satisfy us, my friend, when we seek Him with all of our heart, mind, our body, and our soul. Now, there's others today that try to find satisfaction through great feats of daring, like high-speed racing. I think some of these NASCAR boys, and I ain't preached on that in a while, but I think some of these NASCAR boys find some sort of satisfaction, and by the way, it is only a carnal satisfaction, in seeing how fast they can make the track and seeing how many times they can come out number one in the event and trying to reach the top of the ladder, so to speak, in the NASCAR columns. You know, every time you pick up the paper, they want to tell you about somebody that's won another race, how fast their car drove to get them there, and how much money they won by doing so. I want to say that people, my friend, are ignorant today to try to find satisfaction by carnal means. I'm telling you, I read an article in the paper the other night that amazed me. There's a mountain in America, I forget which one it is, it's in a national park, and there's one of the cliffs that is about 3,000 feet in elevation, and parachutists were climbing to the top and parachuting off, free-falling off of the top of that mountain. No doubt trying to find some sort of satisfaction in life by parachuting off of that, just trying to find out or see what they could achieve in this life that might satisfy them. Well, the park put a rule out. There could be no more skydiving off of that mountain. And so five morons made their way to the top of that mountain to prove that it was safe and enjoyable for them to parachute off of. The story said that three made it all right, but the fourth, a 60-year-old woman who was expert in parachuting, trying to make one last jump to satisfy her heart or her the longings of her soul just one more time, my friend, fell 3,000 feet to the bottom of that canyon to her death. And the story said that the fifth parachutist walked down. It ain't no wonder he walked down. They'd have been better off if they'd all walked down. I'm telling you, we live in a society today, friend, that is trying to find a thrill. They're looking for something that will thrill them, that they believe their satisfaction, like these idiots that bungee jump, you know, that is left no more than looking for something that might
satisfy them in this life, but I'm telling you, my friend, it is a carnal satisfaction that when the thrill is gone, the satisfaction is gone, and when the satisfaction is gone, they're looking for something new to satisfy them, but I've got news for that crowd. They'll never, my friend, reach the top until they find satisfaction in the lived on and Son of God that loved them and gave His life for them. It's kind of like the charismatics. This may take a while. It's kind of like the charismatic movement. They're trying to find satisfaction in their religion. And so they started out with speaking in tongues. And they had tried that wore out. They found that it didn't satisfy. It wore out. And they had to reach out for something new. And so when that wore out, then they began this faith healing stuff, and slaying people in the spirit. Ain't that right? And when they had been slain in the spirit to all they could stand, and found out that didn't satisfy, they tried to get something a little more spectacular, and so they started having laughing revivals and puking revivals and all that mess, hoping that in their religion they'll find something that'll satisfy. I want to say to you, my friend, that the only satisfaction in life is to find the Lord, amen to God, seek the Lord with all your heart, and then when you find Him, cleave to Him and love Him. I have found Him to be a satisfying source in my soul in the world that I'm living in. Enough for you? That's what Satan asked Job. Said, is God enough?
Amen.
Somebody said he didn't say that. He did too when he said, doth Job fear God for naught?
Amen.
What he's saying is God enough for you, Job?
Amen.
Does He satisfy you? I'll ask you this morning. Does He satisfy you?
Amen.
If He does, you're content with what you have and where you are. And satisfied with what God's given you.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. I find no fault in Him. Son, I tell you, there's a void in my life. I was void down in my heart, and there was a longing in my soul for something, my friend, that the world couldn't satisfy. But I'm here to tell you, on September the 13th, 1970, my friend, Jesus Christ found my never-dying soul, birthed me into the family of God. I've been a-drinking from a deep well ever since, and I'm well satisfied in Him today. Hallelujah to God. That's right, ain't it? He's satisfied. I'm going to tell you, I think probably that about the sorriest lot, or I really don't want to say the sorriest lot, but there's that crowd, these sports fellas. They think that they can find satisfaction in reaching number one. I'll give you a little example. Mark McGwire. Oh my God, I've taught Babe Ruth, I've hit 70 home runs, and son, I'm the king. But I tell you, if that man would tell you the truth, my friend, he'd have to say that the 70 no longer satisfies. I'm looking for 71. I'll guarantee you that the fellow that came in second last year with 66 have to tell you the same thing. The 66 ain't getting the job done. I'm looking for 71. I want to be number one on the totem pole. And son, that's the problem with sports today. They all want to be number one and make the most money. They're doing it looking for some sort of satisfaction down deep in their heart. But they'll never be satisfied, my friend, until they know the Lord in the free pardon of sin, and they're drinking from another fountain other than what the world has got to offer them.
Yeah.
Somebody ought to say amen.
Yeah.
Then I say that probably the most disillusioned and blinded bunch is the group that I'm getting ready to name right now. There is that group that seeks satisfaction in the lust of their own heart and the sin of their own depraved nature, and they're looking for something that will please the cravings and the longings that this body of flesh has. Somebody said, who are you talking about? I'm talking about that crowd, my friend, that thinks there's pleasure in the neck of a wine bottle, but I'm telling you, the bottom of it is full of dregs, amen to God, and sorrow and heartache. I'm talking about that crowd that's looking for satisfaction in dope and drugs and alcohol. And all you young folks, look up here. I'm talking about the crowd that's trying to find satisfaction in their spiritual or in their sexual lust and have some idea that sex is the answer to all of your dilemmas of life. I've got news for you. I'm 53 years old, and I love my wife. But I'm telling you, friend, sexual desires, what's driving men to the bedrooms of other women, tearing down homes and tearing families apart and raising hell in the family, that for a few moments of sensual pleasure will never satisfy the longings of the soul of the man. Or a woman, by the way. Oh, how disillusioned America is. Spending millions of dollars on beer. Thinking they can find satisfaction down at the lake on a Sunday morning on a motorboat or a ski jet or whatever they go on with a keg of beer, ice down, and boy, ain't we having fun. But I'm going to tell you, Monday morning faces Sunday night and work day starts, and I never did find it fun to go to work with a swelled up head because I've been laying drunk on the weekend at some park or some resort. I'm telling you, my friend, when I finally woke up, I realized that there was no deep satisfaction in what I'd found. Hallelujah. I'm glad I prayed. I'm glad I prayed. Seeking satisfaction. What is your heart longing for today? Some of you young folks in here, what are you all longing for in your heart today? You want an automobile, a bag of money, a little job, loud muffler on your car or truck, and a night out on the town? God help you, that'll never satisfy your soul. Never satisfy. Somebody said, preacher, where do you get satisfaction here? Well, apparently this little bride was looking for something to satisfy her. She said in verse number 2, kiss me. That's reconciliation. Kiss me. Praise God. Give me a good kiss of reconciliation. Now, I'm going to tell you something, my friend. You'll never be satisfied till you're saved by the grace of God. Oh, I'm telling you, I know that is right. You'll never be happy. You'll never be satisfied until you're saved by the grace of God and you've experienced the kiss of reconciliation from the Lord Jesus in your life. I talked to Brother Raines last night. I called Preacher Raines, and he said, well, he said, I got folks that's sitting on the pews that I don't seem like there's much conviction. So they've been sitting there now for several Sundays and said they just wanted them. One of them made a trip to the altar one time, said didn't get in. He said, I don't know what it's going to take to get folks in. I'm going to tell you what it's going to take, friend. It's going to take them realizing, like the bride, like this little bride did, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth, for your kisses are better than wine. Hallelujah to God. I'm going to tell you what she was saying. Your kisses are better than the joy this world ever could be. That's right. Wine is always a type of joy. But here in this connotation, it is a worldly joy. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, the kisses of reconciliation and being saved and knowing God and the free pardon of sin is the greatest, my friend, blessing of life and the only thing that will satisfy your soul today. You young folks in here, bless your heart. You think you find satisfaction if you can put on a Tommy Hilfiger shirt or a Liz Claiborne pocketbook. Amen to God. Or spray on a little Chanel or Channel. I call it Channel, little Channel number 5 toilet water. Amen. Put a little bit of Maybelline. Hey, Maybelline, why can't you be true? Woo! smear a little Maybelline on your lips and think everything's all right and think you've arrived and you found something that's satisfied. May I say to you, my friend, that children will grow out of childly desires and teenagers will grow out of teenage desires and adults will grow out of adult desires and you'll find that you've been left empty without God. Amen. And the only lasting satisfaction is the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. That's right, ain't it? You said, kiss me, I want to be reconciled. Verse number 4, she said, draw me, I want some fellowship with you. I want to sit down and talk with you a little while. Praise God and have a little fellowship. That's what keeps people looking for everything else. They never have fellowship with Jesus. I'm going to tell you, if you'd ever taste of Him, see that the Lord's good, you might not want to run after everything else in the world. She wasn't looking, she was looking for Him. I've got a funny feeling the bride, this little bride had already said, I've already been out there in the vineyards of my sisters, and I found nothing out there that satisfies. So would you please kiss me and reconcile me? Would you draw me in fellowship with you? Would you tell me where you're beaten and where you're arrested so I may join you there? For why should I be drawn aside to your companions? Why should I be drawn aside to something else? Huh? Why should I, as one that turneth aside by the flocks of your companions? Why won't you just tell me, whisper in my ear, I'm bending toward you, Lord. I'm coming to you. I'm leaning in your direction. Please tell me where you feed and where you rest, where I can find food and where I can find rest. Now, don't nobody leave me. I'm about ready to get into the message. But in satisfying us here, the thought is that He satisfies us with both food and rest. Tell me where you're feeding the flock at. Tell me where you're resting at noontime. Two things there, my friend. He satisfies us with food and He satisfies us with rest. And I'm not talking, my friend, about Big Macs, bless God, and T-bone steaks. I'm talking about being satisfied. Amen to God. With food from the King's table. Hallelujah. Like little Mephibosheth, saved by the grace of God, brought up out of Lodibar, lame on both feet, but David set him down at the King's table and let him feast on the food of the King. Hallelujah to God. Why people would rather eat the sawbriars of the world rather than the manna of God's beyond my fondest imagination. Huh? Why folks would rather be a billy goat eating on tin cans? They a goat, ain't they, Jerome? Huh? Billy goat food. Saw briars, tin cans, gum boots, old automobile tires. That's right. Somebody said, what is all that? Well, I didn't think you was that dumb. Let me name them. How about saw briars? Liquor! How about gum boots, my friend? How about gum boots? Little goat! Amen. How about old used tires? Try that camel you got rammed in your mouth. Hallelujah to God. Why in God's name do folks want to try to live over the fields of this world when they can die on manna and meat and milk of the blessed Word of God? Hallelujah to God. Now, hear me now. If she is looking for satisfaction for food and rest, you've got to have the shepherd work of Christ in that. That's right. It comes from the shepherding work of the Lord Jesus. Did He not say in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd? What was those next words? Somebody help me. I shall not want. Why not? Because I'm satisfied with the shepherd. He's drawn me. He's kissed me. He's drawn me. And He's told me where the green pastures are and where the still waters are. And I'm satisfied in with Him.
Yes.
I'm talking about the shepherd work. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Green maketh me to lie down. There's the rest. In green pastures, there's the food. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul.
Yes.
Hallelujah to God. Amen to God. I feel like running my head through a wall. Amen. You may not feel like you've got no God around you, but son, I feel God in the soul. I want to say to you today, I'm glad, thank God, that I've been made to lay down in the pastures of the Lord, and I've found His grace is tender, and His water is satisfying, and my soul has found rest in Him. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Hallelujah. May I say to you, there's a threefold work of the shepherd. There's a threefold work of the shepherd. He is called the good shepherd in John 10:11. He said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Praise God. He didn't say give it for a goat either. He said he give it for the sheep. Amen to God. I'm glad that he did. I lay down my life. Then I might take it up again. No man can take it from me. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. Why are you doing that? Because I'm the good shepherd. And as the good shepherd, I've come to satisfy my sheep and to give them rest in the shady green pasture that I have provided for down yonder by the still waters at the flowing through the land of the living. Hallelujah to God. Woo-wee. Amen. He's called the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory which fadeth. Looky there, there's your satisfaction. A crown of glory which fadeth not away. Hallelujah to God. Oh, what glory. Going to give us a crown of glory. Who is that chief shepherd that hath satisfied my soul? Has got a crown of glory for me that's satisfied because it fadeth not away. Hallelujah to God. Then I want to say in Hebrews 13:20, He's called the great shepherd. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Great shepherd. Not a shepherd, but a great shepherd. That brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Perfect in every good work to do His will. You can't work without food, and you can't work without rest. But I'm telling you, as the shepherd of the sheep, He gives us food and He gives us rest that we might do the work of God and the will of God. Hallelujah! And be satisfied in what we're doing. My name, by the way, is Tim Lewis. I've had preachers to tell me, why don't you leave that church and all the headaches, all that money you got to raise and the headache of raising that money. I'm going to tell you why I don't leave. Because I'm satisfied with what I'm doing. I'm satisfied in the work I'm at. I ain't looking for another job. Some folks looking for jobs. He done showed mercy. Some folks looking for a job. I'm not looking for a job.
Amen.
I'm satisfied with the food He provides here. I'm talking about right here. I'm satisfied with the rest that I've got. And I'm satisfied, hallelujah to God, in the work that He's called me to do in this place. Don't need no night job.
Amen.
I got black boy. I ain't looking for no night job. Somebody said, what's he do as a shepherd? May I say, as a shepherd, first of all, he seeks his sheep.
Amen.
I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. And according to Luke 15, when he finds it, he lays that little lost lamb upon his shoulder. Carried it all the way back to the house. Bless your heart. I'm glad. Somebody said, well, somebody always talking about how they can't make it. How can you not make it when the shepherd's got you on the tender, loving shoulders of himself, and he's carrying you all the way from that place where he found you all the way to the house? I tell you, you'll make it home. I got news for you. Didn't that scripture say he put that little sheep up and put it on his shoulders? You know, and he come rejoicing with it? Now look here. Paul said in Hebrews, when he by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Like Brother Milford Biddle said the other night, Jesus made it home. He sat down. He come from home. He went back home. And he made it home. He's seated there at the right hand of the majesty on high today. Somebody said, what's that to us? Praise God, son, if he's got me and you on his shoulder. Where are we? Where is we today? He made it home. Son, if he made it home, we're going to make it home with him. Hallelujah to God. Now I've got news for you. Hey, listen just a minute. This thought just came to me, and I hope you won't. If he's carrying us in his breast, in his bosom, that's where he carries us. That's where his nurture and his strength and his food comes from, is in the bosom. Now, I'm going to tell you what John Gill said. Now, I didn't say this, Gill did. He said, Jesus will satisfy you with because he's not dry-breasted.
Amen.
You get a hold of that. He is not dry-breasted. He just keeps on bearing spiritual children.
Yes.
And as long as he bears spiritual children, he's got milk in the breast of Jehovah God to nourish us and satisfy us till we reach heaven's glory. Hallelujah to God. Ain't that right? Seeking satisfaction. Cast me! Draw me! Tell me where you are! I gotta know. I need food and I need rest that I may find satisfaction for my soul. As a shepherd, he seeks us. May I say, as a shepherd, he's got exquisite knowledge of his sheep. He knows everything there is to know about you. I know my sheep. Now I've got news for you. He not only knows his sheep, I call them by name. Not only does he know them and calls them, and they follow me, hallelujah to God. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which giveth me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Hallelujah. Now, son, he knows you. He's got enough knowledge of you that he said in John 10:14, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. Then you're sitting in here this morning lost. He knows whether you're lost or not. And if you're sitting in here a billy goat, he knows you've got wrong horns on your head. Wrong hair, wrong eyes, wrong horns. He knows. He has got an exquisite knowledge of his sheep. And because he has, he's endued with infinite wisdom and prudence to order his sheep aright. Hallelujah to God. And I don't want to get on this. I'm going to preach on it tonight. But old David said, when my heart within me is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I'm going to tell, amen, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I'm telling you, my friend, he's got enough knowledge that he's able, my friend, by knowledge and wisdom to order our steps aright in this pilgrimage we're in. He ain't never made a mistake. Do you think he's going to let one sheep go astray and leave him there? Do you think he's going to let one sheep continually make a fool out of himself? No. He ain't going to do that, buddy. He has got enough wisdom and prudence, friend, that He's able to guide us aright. She said, Tell me where you feed. Tell me where you rest. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. When you tell me, I'm going to make a hot beeline there as fast as I can get there. Because I'm looking for some good food to satisfy.
Right.
And a little bit of rest to strengthen me. Oh, are you listening to what I'm saying? She said, I've looked at in other vineyards. Why should I feed amongst thy companions? Just tell me you've got the wisdom, you've got the prudence, you've got the knowledge, you know all about me. Where's the food? Where's the table spread that I may sit down and dine today with the king?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Now I've got to hurry. As he has exquisite knowledge to seek his sheep, or knowledge of his sheep, endued with infinite wisdom to guide them. He has an almighty arm to protect and defend them from the enemies, just like David. When the lion and the bear rose up against David, he grabbed him by the beard and slew him down that he might protect his sheep. Somebody said, you afraid of the boogeyman getting you? Bull on the boogeyman. Who's afraid of the boogeyman? Praise God, I'm telling you, I got the angels encamped around about me. Amen to God, I feel like I'm about ready to get cranked again. Amen! And if the angels encamped round about me, if that ain't enough, praise God, I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb of God. And if that ain't enough, I've already entered in behind the door. Amen to God. And he that enters in behind the door shall be saved and shall go in and out and find faith. I'm behind the door of salvation. That's one place a boogeyman can't get to. He couldn't, Brother Jared. If he ever got back there, he'd be a saved boogeyman. He is furnished with large supplies of grace for us, for his sheep. My grace is sufficient. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, He's got grace. He's got abounding grace. He's got abundant grace. He's plenteous in grace and mercy. Oh yes, my friend, He's got grace to help in trouble. He's got grace to help during temptation. He's got grace to help in a time of need. He's got grace to help in the dark hours. He's got grace to help in the trying times. He's got grace to help when the devil attacks. He's got grace to help when the world invades. He's got grace today. Praise God, I'm telling you, I don't need the world. I don't need the devil. I don't need that curse. I'm satisfied in Him today. Hell, I don't know what that is, but... God. Somebody must have laid egg. This thought's as good as grace. He bears an inexpressible love for His sheep. Oh, I'm glad He loves me. Somebody said, tell me about it. I just told you it's inexpressible. I can't tell about it. Telling about the love of God or the grace of God be like trying to hug a mountain. I'd never get it done. I don't know why He loves me. There's nothing in me no better than nobody else. I'm just as sinful as the next guy was. I'm right out of Adam's loins. I'm just as ungodly as Jerome was. I'm just as wicked as that drunk down there or that thief. And why he come to me? I've only got one answer. It's grace! It's grace! It's grace! He loves me! He loves me! He loves me! Better keep them kids here. One of them probably need to get saved this morning. I can go down there and see Curtis after a while. That's right, ain't it? I'm telling you, there is nothing any more important than preaching the Word of God to people, my friend. Amen. Hallelujah. Not only does He seek His sheep and has knowledge of them, but He restores them when they go astray and drift from the fold of God. It's in the valley, friend, that He restores my soul. He restores my soul. My cup runneth over. He restores my soul. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And when I need a little drink, I just look over my shoulder and get a good drink of mercy. Hallelujah to God. And I find it satisfying to my heart. He restores. I'm going to tell you, now you hear me well. People ain't going to leave church and stay out of church and be saved. Can't do it. Somebody said, how you know? Because God will restore them. He restores His straying sheep to fellowship. Mark her down. May I say He watches over His sheep by night. As the shepherds at the birth of Jesus. That's right. When Jesus was born, it was night, and the shepherds of Israel were watching their sheep by night. Somebody said, what do you mean He watches them by night? Friend, let me ask you something. You ain't never got into night season? Your heart ever been broken? You ever been sick and wounded and heartbroken? Have you ever felt weak and needed strength? Has the night ever settled in on you and a gloom over your head and a dark cloud seem to follow you everywhere you go? I'm telling you, my friend, He watches us by night when the stars don't seem to shine and the sun refuses to give her light and the moon is hidden by the clouds. I'm glad, thank God, that He'll watch us by night. Hallelujah. And even in those hours, He satisfies us. I've never seen a real Christian. I've been saved since 1970 and preaching since 1981. And I've never seen a real Christian when the night settles in and offenses come, I've never seen a true Christian yet kick out on God. But I'll tell you what I have seen. I've seen some draw up close to the breast and be nurtured and suckered from the bosom of Christ. And even when things are difficult, a real child of God satisfied with what's going on around him. He's satisfied, friend. You hear what I said? Even in rough times, He satisfies. Hallelujah. I've come to this point, and we'll close here in just a minute. He feeds His sheep. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. Right there is her purpose for inquiring of Him, because she loved Him. Right. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where are you feeding? Where are you at? What are you feeding with? Now, don't nobody get sick. Don't puke. Jesus told that bunch of Pharisees, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. May I say to you that what He feeds us with is Himself. Amen. You're going to have to learn to feed on Christ. Amen. To be satisfied. You've got to learn to feed on Christ. Hallelujah to God. He got to that little old woman at the well. Said, give me a drink. She said, if you knew who it was, you asked for a drink. You wouldn't ask me for no drink. Said, how is it you a Jew and I'm a Samaritan? You want a drink of water? Jesus said, if you knew who it was that asked you, you'd just ask Him and I'd give you a drink of water so you'd never thirst again. Huh? He feeds us by Himself. He said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. I want to read verse number 51 of John, chapter number 6. I've got it highlighted here. I think I can read it without my glasses. Praise God, I got enough God on me right now. I'm just about to read it in Braille. 6:51, he said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the world, for the life of the world. Somebody said, what do you mean? How can you eat His flesh? The bread that He gave was His body, His flesh, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which was a sweet smelling savor. And I tell you, except you die life upon that sacrifice. My God, it ain't no wonder. It ain't no wonder, Brother George, that all the Old Testament priests, are you hearing what I'm saying? When the sacrifice was made, everything but the whole burnt offering, they ate the meat. And if you can't eat of the sacrifice, does the sacrifice satisfy you this morning? Are you trying to find happiness outside the sacrifice of Christ? Hot rods and wild women and sports and ball games and worldly affairs and business and possessions and all that bunch. He feeds us with Himself. He feeds us with His Word. John 6:63 said, It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit. They are life. I'm getting ready to come to the climax of the message. This girl's looking for satisfaction. She said, where do you feed and where do you rest? He satisfies us. He satisfies us with the discoveries of His love and grace. He brings us to the banqueting house, to His banqueting house and His banner. New about Himself to you in your life. We're satisfied, church, as He discovers new truths and new graces to our heart. That is what satisfies us in our soul and keeps us in love with Christ and keeps us walking the straight and the narrow way. Huh? That's right. Now somebody said, where does He feed? I'm glad you asked. Song of Solomon, chapter number 6. Where's my glasses, Benny? Song of Solomon, chapter number 6. Verse 1, whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? Look here, the daughters, her desire to seek him for satisfaction led others to do the same thing. These daughters of Jerusalem said, where is your beloved? Where is he that you're looking for? We want to look for him also. He's got something. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Jesus has got something for everybody.
Everybody.
It don't matter how rich you are, how poor you are, where you work, what color your skin is, and it would behoove us all to seek him that others may see us in our endeavor and seek after him also. Notice verse 2, my beloved, where is he? My beloved has gone down into his garden.
Woo!
What's he doing in his garden? To the beds of spices. What's he doing in his garden in beds of spices? To feed and to gudge! And to gather lilies! He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Then sweeping up the glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. Hallelujah! He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Somebody said, what are you eating on, preacher? Why, dummy, it's a lily. Oh, it's good. Where are you at with that? I'm down in the lily pond. With my well beloved! I satisfied hopping from lily to lily in the garden.
Amen.
I thought that was pretty good.
Amen.
Verse 3, I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies.
Amen.
Where's the lilies grow, folks? In the valley. He's the lily of the valley.
Amen.
You want me to tell you where you're going to get your nourishment? Don't run from valleys.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't run from troubles, disappointments, temptations. There's nourishment for your soul down there.
Amen.
Now look here. Somebody said, preacher. By what means does he feed? And I'm closing now. Feed the flock of God, which is amongst you. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Feed my sheep. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me, Peter, more than fishing? More than pocket knives and guns and hunting and drugs and liquor and a wildlife and hot dogs. Do you love me? More than UK basketball. Yea, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know I love you. Then feed thy sheep.
Yeah.
I said that to say this. He feeds by his ministers. I believe the gardens here is where the gospel is powerfully preached. Do you honestly think that somebody's going to get fed spiritually down here at one of these charismatic messes like Victory Church where they had a double married man in the pulpit? Women preachers. Little oratories.
Dearly beloved, I have 3 points and a poem for you today, beloved. By the way, we're having a bake sale next week and a bingo game Saturday night to strengthen our spiritually depraved nature.
It's going to strengthen. They're going to feed it. I'm going to tell you, friend, where the lily gardens are, where the book is preached without compromise. Somebody said, I don't like all of it. Bless God, I can't really say I like it all. But after I chew on it a while and swallow it and digest it, I find it's real good food. Where the gospel is powerfully preached, where his ordinances are purely administered. I heard of a church up in North Carolina that had communion a while back, and they served hamburgers, McDonald's hamburgers, and Pepsi Cola. That whole crowd's going to hell. Son, you don't desecrate that holy table with hamburgers and Pepsis and cookies and that mess, son. And I've got news for you. You don't desecrate it putting a little wafer in somebody's mouth and a little jigger of wine like the Pope does either. And where his laws are faithfully put into execution. Do you know how many churches do you know today? Now, come on now. I'm closing. This is my last talk. How many churches do you know today that really execute the judgments and the laws of God? Do you know what churches remind me of? And I say this, and I hope they're listening. I say it in respect. Their laws, the laws of most churches, actually I'm talking about church discipline. I'm talking about holiness. Separation.
Do you know what most of them remind me of? And I'm not saying this in a sarcastic way. Most of them remind me of the two men that is running for our circuit court judges in this area. Have you read their articles? Have you read their program? I judged 1,700 cases. I judged 1,900 cases. I got my cases judged in 90 days. I done mine in 45 days. I wouldn't give a flip. How many? I want to know what the egg suckers know about the law. They did not one of them write one thing about what kind of judgment they would make under any given situation. I'm not interested in how long necessarily. I want to know how they judge folks.
Right.
I wouldn't vote for Charlie Boatler. Bless God if he stood over me at the double-barrel shotgun. 10 or 11 years ago when Tammy Lynn was getting married, I called Home TV down here and told them people, I said, I'd like to buy an air conditioner from you. Now, you're talking about judgment. I'm going to show you real judgment, son. They said, fine. I said, can you bring it up to the house? I said, there's a window. Before we built on that dining room, I said, there's a window there. I want it in that window. That's where I want it. I said, if it will not fit in that window, I'm not, the one you bring is so-and-so big. I said, if it will not fit in that window, there's a window back in our bedroom, in one of the little bedrooms, that we'll put it in. I said, but if it won't produce back there, I don't want the air conditioner. If it won't do the job, I don't want it. I said, you look at it. Tell me if it does the job. If it'll do the job, fine. If not, fine. If it will, I'll take it. If I don't, I won't want it. Now, hear me now. I got home that evening, and they had a contract laying on the kitchen counter for me to sign for that air conditioner. It wouldn't fit in the window I wanted it. They put it in the back room. The boy that put it in there, where the sides goes out, took a board and broke it over his head, had cracks and holes in it. They didn't even put a brace under it on the outside. It was hanging in there, looked like something Jerry rigged up, bless God, that a moron put in there. And the next morning, I was on the phone. The next morning, I said, come and get your air conditioner. Oh, what's wrong? I said, it won't work back there. It's put in. It's not installed right. I don't want it. So the two men that put it in come back out there, and they piddled around. And I said, get it out there. And they said, the boss said we had to leave it in there. I said, the boss said you had to. I said, get that out of my house. Oh, no, we're not taking it out. We're leaving it in there. About 4 or 5 days later, friend, I got a court order to appear in small claims court. I thought, well, this is a piece of cake. I ain't signed a contract. I told the people I didn't want it. They're going to have to come get that air conditioner. And I sat down. Charles Boatler said, is that air conditioner in your window? I said, yes, Your Honor. But I said, I have not signed a contract. He said, it makes no difference to me. He said, pay for the air conditioner. I'm going to pay for something I don't want. Hey, I'm going to pay for something I don't even know. That judge don't even know. There's not a shred of evidence to even prove it's in my house, and he's going to make me pay for it. I walked straight across the street to a lawyer's office, right straight on that side of the courthouse. Badinky Diner, walked in, told the lawyer what I'd done. He said, Charlie Boatler must be an idiot. He said, there's no law for that. I said, can you get me out of this? He said, take your choice. Pay me the $500 and give them the air conditioner and lose it all, or give them the $500 and keep the air conditioner. He said, I can get you out. I said, there ain't a law in the country. He said, there ain't a court in the country would make you pay for that without a legal binding contract. Charlie Boatler did. That's pitiful judgment. To make judgment without evidence, without hearing the evidence, is pitiful judgment. If that's the type of moron's been passing our law affair, I want nothing to do with it. Somebody can go tell, hey, that's just about like some of the churches. Never say anything about women's dress. Never say anything about the hair on women. Never preach against sin, television, sports, and the whole mess that goes with it. Folks are anemic. That's why you see them wearing short shorts. That's why you see them skipping church, laying out of the house of God. They're anemic. Tell me where you feed and where I can rest so I may find satisfaction in my life. Are you satisfied today? Is Jesus enough for you? Or are you still looking? Let's stand together.